This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, we're here, we're available. We can answer your questions about medicine, nutrition, all aspects of health. That's what Intelligent Medicine is all about. You can call us at 877-726-8255. That's our number for questions. You can come directly into the doctor's office and pose your question today, this hour, or next. 877-726-TALK. And we got lots of stuff to discuss this weekend. The flu is raging. We're going to talk a little bit about the flu medications that are recommended. Also, the duh story of the week. A study suggests a possible link between highly processed foods and cancer. IV vitamin C for infection. And lots more. Plus your phone calls, 877-726-8255. And the flu continues to rage. There are deaths nationwide. And the flu vaccine is an epic fail this year. In contrast to previous years, where it might have offered as much as 60% protection against getting the flu, this year, estimates range from as little as 10% protection to as much as 25% protection. Those aren't very good odds, and indeed, some of the people who are dying are people who actually got the flu shot. So please this week don't phone in and ask me, what do I think about the flu shot? Should I take the flu shot? Because if you subscribe to our newsletter, if you follow us on social media, on Facebook and or Twitter, I'm going to weigh in on that important subject in next week's newsletter article. Because it's a complex and nuanced argument. There may be some benefits. The benefits are slight. The downsides are real. And we're going to weigh the pros and cons of the flu shot in next week's newsletter article. This week, we took a look at longevity and some simple tests that you can take on your own at home. It doesn't involve a fancy workup at an anti-aging institute to find out if you're likely to live a long or a short life. And so check out that article at drhoffman.com. When it comes to the flu, the current advice is if you come down with the flu, get a prescription for Tamiflu. Tamiflu is an antiviral medication that's been in existence for a couple of decades. And they'll say, take Tamiflu. It'll, yeah, at the very least, it'll shorten the flu. It's going to help you. And certainly some of the people who are 4-plus sick with the flu in the hospital, they all have received Tamiflu or similar drugs. And I can guarantee you that all the folks who've died from the flu have at least had a shot at taking Tamiflu. And with an outcome that wasn't very positive. So the latest is from the British Medical Journal. This actually came out the end of last year. The World Health Organization downgrades Tamiflu on its drug list after reviewing the evidence. And they say that evidence of the minimal benefit of Tamiflu is now 18 years old. In the British Medical Journal news article, and I'm reading here, The World Health Organization downgrades Tamiflu after reviewing the evidence. This is posted by the editor-in-chief of the British Medical Journal. They welcomed the move as a victory for the journal's campaign for evidence-based medicine. She said, "WHO's decision is a vote for evidence-based policymaking, which will save money and harm. It's also an important milestone in the continuing fight for access to clinical trial data and independent research." You see, the makers of Tamiflu were not very forthcoming with the original trial data that suggested that Tamiflu offered an advantage to people suffering from the flu, or that it had any preventive effect on getting the flu to begin with. The evidence of the marginal value of Tamiflu in managing and preventing the complications of flu is now approaching being two decades old. It was first marketed in the U.S. in 1999. If you'll remember, there was a big flu scare. Oh, I guess it was in the early 2000s. It coincided with the release of movies like Outbreak, which dramatized the potential effects of a worldwide epidemic killing 80% of the world's population. And so governments were hoodwinked into stockpiling literally tens of millions of doses of Tamiflu against the possibility that some Armageddon-like flu pandemic was going to devastate the population. The government bought these pills in hopes that this would stem the tide of some devastating pandemic. And this is a real marketing coup for the makers of Tamiflu and similar drugs. They say here that the marketing authorization application submitted by the drug's manufacturer did not contain information on its effectiveness in preventing complications due to influenza such as hospitalization, secondary bacterial infections, or mortality, which means death. That's the most important endpoint after all. Does it prevent death? And as a result, Tamiflu's professional product label was amended in 2000 to reflect that, get this, there was no evidence that the drug would prevent the complications of influenza. And yet here we are, nearly 20 years later, and you get the flu and the doctor says, here's a prescription for Tamiflu, or you end up in the hospital and they give you Tamiflu. So this is a big problem. In addition to its lack of efficacy, there are a lot of serious side effects associated with Tamiflu. It'd be one thing if it's like, okay, fine, take it, it might help. But that's what they say these days. Well, look, it's not going to prevent the flu, but you'll be sick for 5 days instead of 6 or 7 days. It'll take the edge off the flu. That's the pitch these days. But what about potential side effects? Because, I mean, it was completely benign. You'd say, yeah, I'll take a chance. It might help. Even if it doesn't, it's worth a try. But if there's side effects, you might think twice. Well, here's an estimate that if 1 million people take Tamiflu in a pandemic, 45,000 will experience the side effect of vomiting. That's a lot of puke. 45,000 people vomiting. Imagine if there's some pandemic and they issue this stuff, go around with trucks with megaphones issuing Tamiflu, and tens of millions of people take Tamiflu. That's 45,000 times a lot of tens of people who are going to experience a side effect of vomiting. 31,000 will experience severe headaches, and 11,000 will have psychiatric side effects. Yes, there have been reports of psychosis, of suicidal ideation, of kids hallucinating while taking Tamiflu. It's a big deal. So, we stockpile enough Tamiflu for 80% of the population, and it's been a windfall for the makers of Tamiflu. It's time we reevaluate our approach to the flu when it comes to vaccination and when it comes to treatment. And yes, we should be considering nutritional strategies. They don't get any respect, but studies show that in individuals who have vitamin D deficiency, the administration of vitamin D can reduce the incidence of respiratory infections, that means both colds and flus, by two-thirds. So, you know, we're talking billions for vaccines and drugs, but little attention is lavished on supplements, natural strategies for dealing with these scourges. And, you know, I'd be fine with it if the vaccines were perfect and harmless and the medications were effective. But we got a big healthcare crisis because the flu is taking a devastating toll this year, and we're barking up the wrong tree. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. You can call us 877-726-8255. That's 877-726-TALK for questions related to intelligent medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our intelligent medicine principles. Or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the intelligent medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com.
Mom, my nose is stuffy. Can I have some Clear?
Sure, honey. Wow, your child actually asks for nasal spray? My kids hate the chemical taste.
Well, this isn't a chemical spray. This is Clear.
Clear?
Yep, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R. It's the natural nasal spray made with xylitol. It has no chemicals, so it's perfect for my whole family.
How does it work?
Naturally. One spray is all it takes. My kids ask for it because they know it works fast and they even like the taste.
All done.
Do you feel better?
Yep, thanks, Mom.
Why hasn't my doctor talked to me about Clear?
Good question.
Made with xylitol, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, is the natural nasal spray that's perfect for adults and 100% safe for kids. Clear alleviates congestion caused by colds, allergies, flus, and pollen and dander. One spray is all it takes to keep your entire family clean and clear. So ask for Clear by name, that's X-L-E-A-R, at fine retailers like CVS, Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, Sprouts, and Kroger's, or find a retailer near you at clear.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. 877-726-8255 is our number. You can call us this hour or next. And Tom from Connecticut, welcome.
Yes, hi, Dr. Hoffman. I have a question. Can you tell me what causes low levels of arginine, vasopressin, antidiuretic hormone? The range is from 1 to 13, and I'm minus 1. And what can you do to raise those levels up?
Okay. Well, this is an unusual test. Why were your levels checked?
Well, because one time I had trouble standing up, and the doctor was doing a series of tests, and I decided to do that test, and it came up, and I had it retested 6 months later, and it was still the same.
Okay. And so ADH, or arginine vasopressin, actually, AVP is a hormone that has to do with blood pressure. Okay, and you know this is part of the blood pressure regulatory system, and so the question is whether the administration of arginine is going to help that. Because actually arginine is a vasodilator, and that may cause the blood vessels to expand and further lower your blood pressure and theoretically make you feel weaker and woozier. So I can't tell you that there's necessarily, you know, just because arginine vasopressin has the word arginine in it, that taking arginine is going to help that situation. It's part of that signaling system that we have that keeps our blood pressure from going – preventing it from going too high and preventing it from going too low and just keeping it in that Goldilocks just right range, not too high, not too low, just right, to maintain optimal blood pressure. So what were the results? The results were that your levels were low?
nitros from 1 to 13, and I was less than 1.
Okay. So is there a fix for that? Is the doctor suggesting that there's some kind of intervention?
No, they mentioned phenylalanine, but I don't know if that was something that might help us. I know it's made of amino acids, the ADH.
Yeah. So what phenylalanine may do is it's a building block for catecholamines. Okay, catecholamines include epinephrine and adrenaline or noradrenaline. And those are things that actually help to constrict the blood vessels, which actually in your case would be good. I mean, the vast majority of people are complaining of high blood pressure. You got low blood pressure and low levels of this thing that has to do with regulating the caliber of your blood vessels. And so the suggestion is that you take something that constricts the blood vessels. Now, you can actually take medication that will do that. Medication will do it more reliably than taking a, you know, amino acid, which is a precursor to the catecholamines. I'm talking about a medical fix. Is this a holistic doctor or is this a, conventional doctor?
Yes, holistic.
Oh, okay. Well, so the holistic doctor, I don't know, maybe they're going a little bit down a rabbit hole here. What about conventional management for this? What have you done?
I haven't done anything because I don't really have, the only effects, side effects I may have, frequent urination, that's basically about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is something, you know, may have to do with ADH, which is antidiuretic hormone. Okay, that's a different thing, all right?
I'm sorry, Dr. Hoffman, that's what, maybe I made a mistake, but that's what it was, the vasopressin. Oh, I said diuretic, I said antidiuretic, okay, yeah.
Are you talking antidiuretic hormone? ADH as opposed to AVP?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, there was ADH.
Bingo. Okay, ADH. Okay, so antidiuretic hormone. This is something. It's a whole different story. Now we have to go to another, switch gears. Yeah, it's a different story. So ADH is actually something that it's antidiuretic. When you have low levels of that, you pee more. You know, a diuretic is something that makes you go to the bathroom, and something that's anti-diuretic, if you don't have enough, you're going to go to the bathroom more. And actually, in childhood enuresis, they sometimes give that as a medication. It's inhaled nasally. It's usually made by the anterior pituitary gland. And when you take it as a nasal medication, it helps childhood bedwetting. So, yeah, again, I don't know what impact it has on you as an adult. You know, you urinate frequently, but you're not a child wetting the bed. Your blood pressure is low. Again, you know, I have to see, like, the whole picture, and your doctor seems to be looking at some relatively obscure tests to come up with an answer with your problem, and I'm not sure if that's where the answer lies. Thanks very much for your call, and all the best to you. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. When we return, we'll look at a study that suggests, well, lo and behold, the Duh Story of the Week, a link between highly processed foods and cancer. Do tell. This is Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, and our number 877-726-8255 for questions. And we got Chris on the line from Connecticut. How are you, Chris?
Well, I've probably been better, but
cough there. You're kind of like, hi, I'm Chris.
Oh, I was dying. 2 minutes ago, I couldn't have talked to you.
Okay.
a pinchy cough that's caused by post-nasal drip got me.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, crap, this is bad timing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
you and about 50% of the rest of the population of the tri-state area, you know, really.
It's a big... This is just so brutal. But, I mean, it's not as bad as shingles, but it stinks all the same.
Yeah.
But see, my biggest issue is this. I went to the doctors yesterday to urgent care to just rule out pneumonia,
mm-hmm,
because my lungs were squishing so much on exhale when I would lie down at night and try to sleep. So I haven't been able to sleep for like the last 3 nights. This flu started mm-hmm Tuesday. By Wednesday, the fever was up to 104, and I said, okay, I guess it's time to take a Tylenol and bring it down.
Right, absolutely.
But by far and large, I don't, you know, I like to let fevers do whatever they're going to do, but when they get dangerous, I don't want to let them get too crazy. But anyway, what's left now is this this pinchy cough that I've got, and then the issue of not being able to sleep. Right. Because when I lie down flat,
because of the breathing problem, you, in effect, you have like a temporary sleep apnea because you can't really breathe. Your nose is all congested, and you know, mouth breathing is tough. Yeah.
No, I'm not. My nose isn't at all congested. I mean, hardly at all. But what's happening is when I exhale, there's like this crackling and rattling, which is what drew me into the doctor's office yesterday. Anyway, because I said, well, let's just make sure this isn't pneumonia.
So bottom line, you don't have pneumonia.
Correct. But I don't know whether you have an arsenal of remedies that I'm not already taking. So
maybe you could run down whatever you think might be a good idea. Let me tell you what I would suggest. So, first of all, when you have a respiratory infection of any kind, you're going to have a reaction in your mucous membranes. The mucous membranes are unhappy. And in response to inflammation, they just secrete mucus. And even when the virus that caused this is gone, there's going to be a prolonged period of reaction. You know, just as if you had been exposed to, you know, like you're a firefighter, you go in a burning building and you inhale smoke, you go out of the building, you breathe clean air, but for many days afterwards, you may cough, you may have excess mucus production. It's a prolonged reaction. So, what can you do naturally? Well, you know, let's first start with a conventional approach. A conventional approach might be to give you steroids. Steroids tend to suppress these types of reactions, but they're not good for you, and ultimately you kind of get hooked, and they can cause problems. So in terms of natural things, to reduce the tenacity of mucus, there's N-acetylcysteine, or NAC. And by the way, it's not a bad idea if you've taken Tylenol with a fever to be taking some N-acetylcysteine, because Tylenol depletes your glutathione, and NAC is something that restores glutathione. It prevents the depletion of glutathione both by fever and by taking Tylenol. But NAC is also a mucolytic. It breaks down mucus, and you may want to take as much as 6 NACs per day. 2-3 times daily would be fine. You should take some vitamin C, because vitamin C is going to be helpful, and is maybe as many as 6 capsules a day if your stomach tolerates it. The ester C form is more gentle on the stomach. It's buffered. Bromelain is great for the swelling that occurs in the sinuses, and so that is a useful thing to take. For people who have a prolonged mucus formation, they're concerned that the mucus will start turning yellow or greenish. There's some great natural antibacterials. Iodine is one of them. And, you know, for a short course of relatively high-dose iodine, maybe 7.5 micrograms daily for a week or 10 days is not going to harm you. That's too high a dose to take on an ongoing basis. But it'll actually literally get into the mucus and prevent the mucus from being infective. And don't forget, Clear, X-L-E-A-R, Clear nasal spray, helps to break the biofilms, which sequester the bacteria that sometimes arise after an infection and can cause, many of the people in 1918 who died of the flu, they didn't die of the flu, they died of the subsequent bacterial infections. So to prevent the bacteria from taking hold and hiding in biofilms, we use a clear nasal spray. It's also mucolytic. It tends to reduce tenacious mucus and can be helpful as well. So, you know, those are some of the things that you can take. I mean, some people take a little guaifenesin. Guaifenesin is something that's available in over the counter. It has, according to studies, it may have mucus thinning effects, but results may vary according to studies, and some of these natural things work equally well. So there you have it. There's a bunch of strategies that you can use. The duh story of the week that I want to get into. Study suggests possible link between highly processed foods and cancer. Whoa. Really? Wow. Incredible finding by the British Medical Journal. Something that, yeah, we probably realized for quite a long time, but ultra-processed foods include packaged baked goods and snacks, fizzy drinks. You can tell this is an English study because in England they refer to carbonated beverages and sodas as fizzy drinks, sugary cereals, ready meals, and reconstituted meat products, often containing high levels of sugar, fat, and salt, but lacking in vitamins and fiber, are thought to account for up to 50% of the total daily energy intake in several developed countries. So this research is based on over 100,000 healthy French adults. And what they found is, and yes, this study was done in France, where ultra-processed foods are now making a lot of headway. It used to be, traditional French diet, they eschewed junk food, but now it's working its way into the diet of the average French man or woman. The results show a 10% increase in the proportion of ultra-processed foods in the diet was associated with increases of 12% in the risk of overall cancer, 11% of the risk of breast cancer. So, something that we've known intuitively has now been confirmed by a large study in a major medical journal, British Medical Journal, of just last week. All right, number is 877-726-8255. And let me just take a moment to share with you some information about a supplement that I find very helpful for fatigue. It's the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be illness, age, just being run down. It's NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. NT Factor works on the mitochondria, and clinical trials have shown that NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half. It's available in a combination product called ProPax, which is a one-stop shop for all your daily nutritional needs. But for those of you who like your multi and want to keep it, and you already have a fish oil, and you're already taking a probiotic, I suggest to the folks in Nutritional Therapeutics that they develop a product that harnesses the power of NT Factor alone. So healthy aging was born. It's the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking, providing you with unique energy support of pure NT Factor in a potent delivery system. I've been taking NT Factor for years. I don't go for a day without it. With a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So order ProPax or Healthy Aging by calling 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Okay, this item, does my nonstick pan make me look fat? According to a study in PLOS Medicine, long-term weight maintenance may be compromised by exposure to compounds used in many consumer products to make them non-stick or waterproof. And it turns out these are obesogens or endocrine-disrupting chemicals. Recently, I swapped out my non-stick pans for some that are chemical-free. They're a little pricier. Those coatings that are non-chemical are more expensive, but they're better for you because nonstick chemicals, and they come by various initials. It's difficult to pronounce. Perfluorooctane sulfonic acid, so we call it PFOAS, and there's PFOA and PFHXS and PFNA and an alphabet soup of products that are formerly known as Teflon, but these are related products, and they're all endocrine disruptors. And what they found was that when women were looked at, those in the highest tertile of PFAS concentration, they measured levels of these things in the blood, they had around 4 to 5 pounds more weight gain during the period after initial weight loss versus those in the lowest level of exposure. In other words, they lost weight, but they regained weight faster when exposed to these chemicals, which are thought to be obesogens. They say that these compounds are extensively used in many industrial consumer products, including not just the pans you use, but food packaging. Many fast food eateries, you know, when they hand you a hamburger and it's in some sort of coated little napkin so that the burger doesn't stick to the paper, they coat it. There's also paper and textile coatings and nonstick cookware, of course. The drinking water supplies for at least 6 million Americans might possibly exceed the health advisory limits for PFOS and PFOA exposure set by the EPA. So we're getting lots of this stuff, not just from nonstick cookware, but also from the packaging materials that are associated especially with fast food. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. It's me, your immune system. I'm always hard at work defending you against the many disease-causing viruses and bacteria that you are exposed to every day. But sometimes I need help to defeat the bad bugs. Luckily, our friends at Kyolic have come to the rescue. Kyolic has two super immune-enhancing supplements, Kyolic Immune Formula 103 and Kyo Green Harvest Blend Immune Defense. Kyo Green Harvest Blend is a power-packed blend of organic and naturally sourced grasses, ancient grains, fruits, veggies, herbal extracts, and spirulina in a fast-dissolving drink mix for a quick and easy way to support immunity. Kyolic Immune Formula 103 combines immune-boosting nutrients with aged garlic extract. Aged garlic extract has been clinically shown to support a healthy immune response and reduce both the duration and severity of cold and flu symptoms. Help me protect you with Kyolic supplements and nutritional drink mixes to fortify your immune health today. Available at fine natural health retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. We invite your calls. It's 877-726-8255, this hour and next. 877-726-TALK to get right into the doctor's office. You can pose a question about medicine, nutrition, anything you like. And the story that I promised to share with you has to do with an intrepid doctor in Norfolk, Virginia, who's found a treatment for sepsis. Sepsis is often deadly. It's an infection that gets into the bloodstream and then causes you to go into septic shock. You end up in the intensive care unit, and your life hangs in the balance. And this is actually one of the big conundrums in medicine, because once you go into septic shock, they just don't have an established protocol for saving lives. Many people don't survive septic shock. They've tried a lot of things, but it's really a critical period for patients when they're in the throes of sepsis. So they cite here the case of Valerie Hobbs, 53, who is suffering from sepsis. It was causing her blood pressure to tank, her organs to fail, and her breathing to flag. And Dr. Paul Merrick was desperate to save her life. He says, when you have a person that young who's going to die, you start thinking, what else can we pull out of the bag? So in this case, he reached for vitamin C. Now, he's not an integrative doctor like myself. I've been using intravenous vitamin C for, pretty well nigh on 30 years or more. He is chief of pulmonary and critical care at Eastern Virginia Medical School. And after having read medical journal articles involving the vitamin, he decided to order IV infusions of it, along with hydrocortisone, a steroid, to reduce inflammation. He did that for Valerie Hobbs. And to his surprise, when he came back to the hospital the next morning, he'd found that Hobbs had improved so much that she was removed from four different medications used to boost her blood pressure, and her kidney function was better, her breathing eased. And 3 days later, she left the ICU, and that led Dr. Paul Merrick to become interested in the potential of intravenous vitamin C. There was a lot of resistance, and you know, these patients, they're so sick that they're willing to try anything, so they gave him some leeway, and he began to notice that many patients responded. So after using the vitamin C, in 47 patients with sepsis, only 4 died in 2016. That's an 8% mortality rate. The previous year, 19 of 47 septic patients died. That's a 40% mortality rate. So the medical residents started calling this concoction of vitamin C and steroids miracle juice. And he's been on a campaign to popularize the use of IV vitamin C in the intensive care unit for sepsis patients. He wants there to be a comprehensive study, but there's been a lot of resistance. Stanford University has expressed some interest. But he says it's going to be difficult to fund because it uses drugs that have been on the market for decades. IV vitamin C is dirt cheap. Nobody owns a patent on it. He says, we're curing sepsis for $60. No one will make any money off of it. But he's been going around traveling the country, trying to find audiences of critical care doctors to peddle his idea that IV vitamin C might be a lifesaver in Philadelphia, Charlottesville, on Long Island, here in New York, and in Seattle. He's gotten significant pushback from doctors who are skeptical. They say it's unethical to experiment on patients before larger studies are done. But he says that it's legal, it's available, and it's saving lives. He understands why doctors will wait for more study, but he's urging in desperate circumstances that doctors give this a try. So we're going to try and get Dr. Paul Merrick on for one of our weekday podcasts to talk to him about his intravenous vitamin C therapy. It should be an interesting interview. Okay, this item. Pregnant women deficient in vitamin D may give birth to obese children. I've been telling my patients and some of my relatives who are pregnant about this, make sure you have adequate vitamin D, because vitamin D deficiency in pregnant women could pre-program babies to grow to obese children and adults. They found that six-year-olds, they followed these kids after their mothers were tested for vitamin D. 6 years later, they found that six-year-olds born to mothers with very low vitamin D levels during their first trimester had bigger waists, about half an inch plumper on average. And the average vitamin D supplement given to pregnant women, 400 or 800 international units, doesn't cut it. Many pregnant women need at least 2,000, perhaps 3,000, up to 4,000, 5,000 to achieve optimal levels of vitamin D, and it's safe. And it helps also reduce the potential for allergic and infectious disorders in the babies once they're born. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be back with another hour of Intelligent Medicine. 877-726-8255 is our number for questions.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating this certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.